So I'm probably just going to go through really quickly some background and context for healthy people, and then talk a little bit about some resources that we have on our site to help in your public health work. We'll talk a little bit about Healthy People 2020 indicators, including the leading health indicators. And then Emmeline will wrap us up talking about Healthy People 2020 and the social determinants of health and work we're doing around that area. And we'll have a discussion around Healthy People 2030. I think since we have a pretty small group, if you guys have questions as we go, we're happy to answer, and then we'll have some time at the end as well.
Yeah, you may as well take advantage of us.
Yeah, ask us anything. All right, and I have no relationships to disclose. So really quickly, again, what is Healthy People? And I think most of you guys have probably heard of it, at least you said, or used it on a more regular basis. But it is sort of based on a simple but really powerful model. One, to set national health objectives with targets over a 10-year period. So right now we're at the midway point for the 2020 decade. And then two, providing data and tools to track progress and motivate action. It's really often referred to as a roadmap, so looking at where are we now at the beginning of the decade in terms of baselines, and then where do we want to go in terms of target setting for the end of the decade, and then tracking data-driven outcomes throughout to see how we're doing in terms of trends and data points throughout the decade. So I think you guys have probably been, not hit over the head, but you've seen this the health and all policies definition a number of times during the conference. But I just wanted to use that to couch our presentation here today. So health and all policies, as I'm sure you are aware, is a collaborative approach to improving the health of all people by incorporating health considerations into decision making across sectors and across policy areas. And so really, I think this is something that we've been thinking about for a long time. So looking at sort of various sectors that impact health and bringing them to the table. And at Healthy People, with our federal interagency work group, we've been doing that for several decades now. So working with the Department of Housing and Urban Development, working with the Department of Education, working with the Veterans Administration, to really have them think through sort of policy implications for work that they're doing and how that impacts the health of their own stakeholders in a way that they might not have thought about in the past. And again, I just wanted to include sort of this representation on the right-hand side, which I'm sure you guys have seen as well, which is the county health rankings, sort of visual representation of how broad health determinants or how broad determinants impact health outcomes. So you can see that health outcomes here is impacted by the physical environment 10%. So everything from housing, transportation, air and water quality, 20% clinical care, so access to care and how good is that care, 30% health behaviors, smoking, alcohol use, physical activity, and then 40% social and economic factors, which is always fascinating to see when I see that. So looking at education, employment, income, and these are all things that I think you guys are all probably aware of, but it's nice to have sort of a visual representation to say, look, 40% of our health outcomes are actually impacted not by access to care, not by health behavior specifically, but by where you live, where you work, if you're employed, stress levels, and sort of bigger picture items that aren't necessarily viewed in the outside world as important to health. And I think we sort of view healthy people as sort of a two-way street with health in all policies approaches. So one, looking at healthy people as sort of a model health in all policies approach, so bringing various sectors to the table around health outcomes. But two, really looking at the need for a health in all policies approach and is critical to actually achieving targets within healthy people. So there's no way that we can achieve increasing high school graduation rates, which is an objective within healthy people, without talking to education and looking at sort of what impacts graduation rates at a national level. So again, the evolution, as you can see, we've gotten bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. But we've really tried to sort of broaden the focus as well to look not just at indicators of mortality, looking at indicators of morbidity, indicators of sort of social determinants of health, quality of life, and general healthy lifestyle. And Emmeline will talk a little bit more about that sort of bolded goal that looks at creating social and physical environments that promote good health. And that's really our focus on the social determinants of health. So 42 topic areas, 1,200 objectives. This is just a list to get you guys an idea of sort of what health issues and health areas that are included in healthy people. It's probably most things that you can think of. Everything from access to health services, early and middle childhood, medical product safety, maternal infant child health, and the ones listed in red are those that were new or added to Healthy People 2020. So we've seen healthy people use in sort of a variety of ways. So everything from a data tool to measuring program performance, benchmarking, state and local data to national level data where appropriate, a framework for program planning, so in grants management, really pulling out in your sort of grant proposal and grant application ways that your program is working to improve or to that focuses on a healthy people objective or topic area. Again, as a way to develop these non-traditional partnerships and sort of a platform to bring folks to the table to talk about health at a greater level. And then more recently and exciting in community health assessments and public health accreditation, so community benefit, community health improvement planning, and planning at the local levels. So with the focus on implementation this decade and with 1,200 objectives, we know that that's a big place to start. And so we worked really closely with the Institute of Medicine to develop what are called the leading health indicators. And these are really high priority health issues that, if addressed appropriately, will dramatically reduce the leading causes of preventable death and illness. They are linked to specific healthy people objectives. There are 12 topics across 26 indicators. And again, they're intended to motivate action. So these are the 26 indicators under the 12 topics. So we have indicators within oral health, tobacco, substance abuse, injury and violence prevention, mental health, and you can get more of that specific indicator work on healthypeople.gov. So with the focus on implementation, I just wanted to start sort of couching the talk around resources around sort of the six prongs of our implementation strategy, which really feature a focus on measuring progress and improving our data display, the identification of evidence-based resources, partnership engagement, the use of webinars to highlight progress and community successes, streamlining our outreach, both traditional outreach communication and social media, and then the development of communication, our companion tools. So I'll start with our progress piece and really focus on what we call Data 2020. And this is sort of where you can find data points for all of the objectives that we have, where we have data available. So there are a number of ways that you can get to that data on our site. This is one example through the objective blocks. If you are in a topic area, you see a specific objective you're interested in, we have the baseline, the target setting method, the data source, and then all of the data associated. So if you're interested in a specific data point, and I'll show you what that looks like, you're able to get directly to the data through that objective block. And we also have recently launched, within that Data 2020 tool, the ability to look at disparities within data, and then also to look at state-level data where we have it. And we love to have it, but we don't always have it based on the data source and what it includes in their data collection. So if you were to click on this HP 2020 data for this objective, the Data 2020 icon, you're taken to a specific page that has all of the data points for that specific objective. So you can track trends across years within Healthy People. If it's a carryover from Healthy People 2010, we have all of that data back through the last initiative as well. You are able to sort of view the chart, graph the data. You're able to break it out by various population groups. So you can break out the data, again, by the data source, depending on how that data is collected, by race or ethnicity, by sex, by educational attainment. So you can see sort of the total proportion of the population who has medical insurance, and then break that down by the number of women with medical insurance, the number of men with medical insurance, the number of 18 to 24-year-olds with medical insurance, and break that down into various population groups. So I'll talk a little bit about the evidence-based resources. And really, this was a tool that we wanted to respond to sort of a stakeholder need that we heard over and over again, that we wanted evidence-based resources that are linked to Healthy People 2020 targets and objectives. And so we wanted to be able to provide the stakeholder, our stakeholders, with these evidence-based resources, or EBRs, that were really linked specifically to various objectives where we could. We wanted to speed the adoption of and translation of HHS's knowledge and facilitate progress towards those 2020 objectives. And I think in this, we had discussions on, you know, including things that worked, obviously, and then including things that don't work. So we wanted to both include things that had really strong evidence base for being successful, but we also wanted to show things that were not being shown to be effective, so you weren't sort of reinventing the wheel and doing things that weren't being shown to be effective. So this is just a screenshot of the landing page. So you're able to sort of create a customizable search by a variety of categories. So looking at topic area, looking at sort of setting, race or ethnicity, population group, intervention type, and then receive sort of a customizable set returned based on your user characteristics. And we have worked really closely with the community guide and the guide to clinical preventive services so that we're pulling in all of those recommendations as well. So lastly, I just wanted to talk a little bit about our sort of companion tools, which is sort of a catch-all for resources that we wanted to include for our stakeholders. So everything from e-learning lessons to the SDOH resource portal that Emmeline will talk about a bit later, and then the stories from the field, which is what I'm going to focus on for just a few minutes. So the stories from the field is really a library of stories highlighting ways across the country that people are implementing Healthy People 2020. It's also a way to share sort of your work on our website so that we can highlight community successes at that local level. Again, you can search stories by geographic location. You're interested in heart disease and stroke in California, what work is going on there. You can search by a specific topic area, by a leading health indicator, by the organization, and how recent it is. So there are a few ways that you can get into this. There's the map view where you can obviously see sort of the geographic variation of all of the stories that we have. We are adding stories on at least a monthly basis with the Who's Leading the Leading Health Indicator series. So we have a monthly series where we highlight a community success story, one per Leading Health Indicator topic. So we're adding to that monthly, and then you're able to sort of sort and filter from there. So I just wanted to close my talk with one of the stories that we had featured last year as part of the Social Determinants of Health. And I thought it was a really good example of both SDOH and Health in All policies and looking at sort of a patient, sort of a whole person. So not just looking at, are they coming in for care? What is their specific medical need? But looking at legal aspects, social work aspects, nursing aspects, and pulling in all of these other areas that aren't just sort of the medical care system. So with that, I will play this video and then turn it over to Emmeline, which is a good segue for the social determinants of health work that we're doing. Can you guys hear that?
I had a big water bill, and that was helped out. I had a food stamp situation. I had no food.
State of Florida ranks 41st in the country in health outcomes. Out of the 67 counties in our state, we're 61st in health outcomes.
When I was asked to open up a new medical school for the state of Florida, I thought it would be a wonderful opportunity to embed the medical school in the community.
Greater than 120 community organizations participate in the program. We pretty much have a very strong representation across all sectors.
It gives people the opportunity to get these resources near where they live.
I think FIU is on the right course by trying to target some of these things that we think are more upstream. We welcome that opportunity to kind of change the conversation away from patients being non-compliant, not taking their medications, to actually making a household visit and realizing what it is that's actually taking place in that household.
You identify things that, you know, the patient would like to work with and skills that you would like to develop, and between the two of you, you sort of embark on this journey where you're both learning and you're both helping each other.
Do you again.
You too. So glad to see you. Good.
I think that this has definitely opened up my eyes to see all aspects of taking care of a patient, not just at the bedside.
For me, it's allowed me to grow in that I look at the patient more holistically.
She had a water issue with her utility bills, so the law clinic started helping her out with that. They actually got an agreement in place with her, which she follows through all the time, and she's doing great with.
Another goal that we're trying to meet is Medicare. She's already 65, so she's eligible for it. So I'm working with her to choose a plan that is best for her.
The patient's health is much more determined by the other factors, the access, the economics, the education, the health literacy. When we first met her, she was having her stroke, she didn't have running water, she was wheezing, and in 1 year of work, we addressed pretty much all the important things that you need.
Now they come to clinic and you have the one up on that. You know that there's probably something in their life that is totally unrelated to care, that is hindering their ability to get better.
It's one thing to treat someone with a medication because they're depressed, but if the real problem is that they don't have a job, then being able to work with them on that is an ability to actually solve the real problem.
If there's some problem that looks systemic in the communities, we will then prioritize it for policy work.
We saw something like 60% of the households were using ER as their usual source of care beforehand, and it dropped like in half.
Lowell Health Center was specifically designed to provide free primary care services to households without insurance in the neighborhood health program. We provide vaccinations, we do pelvic exams, pap smears, we do blood work.
What's perfect for me because I'm working and I do it between jobs.
We've actually saved the state of Florida money. That is, for every dollar they gave us, we returned $6.
I had high cholesterol and high blood pressure. And thank God, I always say when I go see Dr. Anderson and Lorraine that they saved my life.
1 year, somebody as sick as Ms. Davis, in the normal circumstances, would have been admitted several times and have used the emergency room several times.
Works great for me and for my family.
We've seen that with our first and second graduating class, a progressively increasing number of our students that go into primary care specialties. This last year was 60%.
So I just wanted to give you guys sort of that real world picture of the social determinants of health and sort of how we're highlighting community successes through the Healthy People platform. So with that, I will turn it over to Emmeline, who will talk a little bit more about our SDOH work, and then we'll have a conversation around the development of Healthy People 2030.